My name is Alan Jones. I'm from South Wales. I currently live in a small city in China where I teach history and English. I've been in China for the last 6 years, 6 and a bit years. I actually arrived January the 20th, 2020, which was an interesting time to arrive in China. But I had been here before a long time ago. So I married a Chinese national who's since been naturalized as British. So quite ironically, she needed to get a visa to come back to her country of birth. But so as I said, at the moment I'm teaching history and English at a Christian school at a location in China, which is it's quite interesting. But no Chinese nationals are allowed to attend the school for obvious reasons.
Well, no, it's not obvious. Can you just explain why that is?
Well, I'm guessing the politics of the party. They have churches in China, but the education system would not allow the sort of any sort of Christian or non-party education that promotes something else over the party, I'm guessing.
So yeah, this is something that we kind of miss, I think, in the UK. It's a bit like Soviet Russia, where they did try to extinguish the Orthodox Church completely. And the idea is that just forget the idea of the church. You have a living supreme leader. It might be Stalin or somebody else or President Xi.
Yeah, that's I think that's certainly the case. Yeah, that's from what I gather. So I know when we go out twice a year, we have what my boss calls a prayer walk. We walk through the city, sing some hymns in Chinese and Korean, but not in English and Korean, but not in Chinese. Even though in the school we will sing a Chinese hymn or a hymn in Chinese.
So, give us an idea of what life is like in China, and also whether you're pining for the valleys.
Oh no, I'm not going back there. No, no, I'm very happy here. I'm very happy. It's financially, I earn around probably less than I would in the UK, but I have so much more disposable income. The rents, the price of food, the price of transport. The price of transport is a particular one. I can get a taxi halfway across the city for a few pounds, which the equivalent it would cost me 10 times as much in the UK. So yeah, I've managed to save up quite a bit of money here. So even though at face value the income isn't great, I live in a nice location. The temperature is good. I've got a nice little foreign community here. So yeah, I'm quite happy here. I'm not looking. I have no plans to go back to the valleys at all.
So, can you just give us an idea of, say, things like, the cost of rent, basic costs of food, things like that? Because I mean, you do get the impression, don't you, that these basic needs, the cost of basic needs, is one of the reasons why the UK is becoming so impossible to save money, and all of the rent, this sort of thing. And that China is on the up because the actual cost of living is far less there.
That's my wife controls most of the finances, to be honest, but my understanding is that I think our electric bill for like 3 months over Christmas came to something like £20, which is maybe included with gas. It was something like £50 for 3 months, which is well, I hate to think what you'd be paying in the UK.
Well, that's winter there, isn't it? Because you're in the Northern Hemisphere too.
Yes, yeah, no, it's cold. Yeah, it gets cold here in the winter for sure. Yeah.
Give us an idea of what the weather's like then.
I live near the coast, so it doesn't get. I used to live right in the north of China, which is it can get down as cold as minus 20. But I'd say where I'm at the moment, it's much the same as the UK, but it rains a lot less. I went home actually to Wales this year, and it rained every day for about 5 weeks. So, but here in the summer, it's a constant sort of between 22 and 29. Very little rain. So yeah, it's comfortable. It's comfortable from April to October. It's very, very nice.
Okay, so look, Alan, do you go swimming, that sort of thing?
Yes, I'm. The sea's a bit cold in May, but in June it's yeah. I'm in the sea most of the time.
Okay,
And
good.
speaking of,
Yeah,
oh,
go
sorry.
on. Sorry, you carry on.
Speaking of the cost of things, beer would be one, for example. You can get a beer for, I don't know, 40 pence from the shop. The bars are more expensive. You're looking at £2, £3 for a pint. But yeah, the actual cost of beer and unfortunately, I'm a smoker, but a packet of cigarettes here would cost about £1 or £2.
Amazing. Can you talked a bit about this whole idea of religion? They're very, very strictly controlling the sort of hearts and minds of people in these communist well, is it still a communist country?
Yes, certainly, yeah. That's fine. It's kind of a mixture, isn't it? You know, they allow capitalism to their rules from what I understand. I'm not sure. I'm not too hot on the economic front, but that's kind of what I can work out.
And what about the school you're teaching in? What's the most of the kids? Where are they from? Who are they? And what's your day like there?
They'd be 90% Korean at my school, and but you know it's a mixture. We have there's Germans here, there's obviously myself, we have Canadians, Mexicans, Filipinos, Indians, so you know there's a nice mix, but it's primarily Korean.
So these are the kids of people who are over in China, migrant workers of one sort or another, are they?
Yes, it's actually a boarding school, so I'd say about 60% of the children, maybe 50%, live at the school, whereas the rest they're transporting every day.
And do the Chinese authorities sort of, I mean, you've hinted at this, but do they sort of like to draw a line around the school and say, you know, we're okay about you doing this, but we don't want you really mixing with the local?
I think there's an element of that. We have visits from the local government. I think they were here maybe once every year. They come and have a look around the classes. So for instance, there's no overt symbolism in the school. We have no crosses displayed, for example. Even though we will have messages in English, I'll just look over now. Yeah, there's a poster on my wall, how to reflect God's light in the classroom. So, you know, there's Christian messaging all over the school, but not outside, not on public display.
Yeah, it sounds a bit bizarre. But what about people, if anyone's listening in Wales? I mean, I remember going to Merthyr recently and going down one of the streets there and seeing, well, about one in every four or five shops was still open. Some, like, it was an enormous bank which was just plants growing out from all over it, on the top of it. It was completely like, it would almost look like some sort of archaeological relic. So compare that to what it's like there.
Oh, it kind of depends where you go. I lived a few, I don't know, I lived about an hour's drive away from my current location, and there's lots of buildings that are built but empty. And I've heard lots of stories about that, where it's money laundering, that they've planned the city, things haven't worked out. So lots of businesses here tend to be short term, I've noticed. You'll have lots of businesses opening up and then closing quite regularly. But I actually live in a tourist area, so it gets very busy here in the summer. But compare, you don't have the boarded up shops that you just described in Wales. It tends to be hustling and bustling, but there is a large turnover of business, I've noticed.
What about cultural life generally in China? Do you sample it much, or are you quite isolated in your school?
Oh no, my Chinese isn't excellent. I'm okay, but there's not a great deal of expats here. There's not many of them, so I'm kind of forced to, which is great. I have some good Chinese friends here. I came to China actually for the first time 25 years ago. And it was a different world then, that's for sure. You had people staring at you wherever you went. So it's much more cosmopolitan now. Beijing and Shanghai have always been like that, but the places that I've lived, I tend to mix quite a lot with the Chinese, and you kind of get used to it. And being a tourist town there, you don't get the staring as much as you would 20 years ago.
Okay, well, what brought you there in the first place?
This time around or initially?
No, initially, yeah.
I got my degree, and I was working for Quicksave. I don't know if you remember Quicksave, the supermarket. Yeah, so I thought, right, what am I going to do now? And I looked up things, and China was the best option at the time for me. So I came out here for a year, met a girl. Went home, went to do a teacher training. I was lovesick, so then I came back, finished with that girl, and then met my wife the same year, and we're still together. But she came back with me. We came back in 2006, and so she lived in the UK for 15 years or so with me.
So what's it like, public transport, trains, buses? You say you're driving. Is there an alternative that's works or not?
I get taxed because the taxis are so cheap and it's so convenient. The public transport tends to be a bit busy for me, so I'm not a big fan of that. But the trains are outstanding. The fast trains, they're cheap. So I can go to a city near me. It's how many kilometers would that be? Maybe 600 kilometers away. Let's say it would be a 2 hour, 2.5 hour car ride. You can get a 1.5 hour train ride there for about £20. The train's really comfortable. They're always on time, and yeah, it's yeah the they have the bullet trains like you normally associate with Japan, I guess. But the train network here is excellent.
So look, it sounds to me like you've done the obvious sensible thing, back around the time of the Second World War, and between the wars. Britain was the place where everything was happening. It was the empire, etc. Now it's completely collapsed. Everything seems to have shifted to China, and you with it. Why do you think more people don't just go where the work is, go where it's on the up?
Well, in fairness, since COVID, especially, there's been I think lots of expats have actually left China. I used to work at the university, and I know they stopped doing English courses. Maybe that's the development of AI. I'm not sure, but I suspect there was a political motive behind it as well. But I'm not so sure. I think to be employed as a foreigner here has got a little more difficult since the COVID, for sure, because the hysteria around it didn't help. And lots of Koreans have actually left this area since the COVID times, which I've been told by friends of mine who've lived here for a long time.
So what was it like under COVID while you were there? Because you turned up right at the start of all that.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I made the mistake at my first job of living in the school grounds, which meant I had to get permission to leave. It was horrendous. It was absolutely awful. And I'm an outdoor kind of guy, so yeah, it didn't. I actually, one day, I was actually teaching. Well, I wasn't teaching, but they were paying me half pay because they didn't want to take the risk of me because contracting COVID or passing on COVID. So I did nothing for my first 6 months here. So that's from January 2020 to September 2020. I did nothing and I was paid half pay. And one day I had to ask for permission to leave the school, and I just flew back to my wife's hometown. So I had enough of it. I'm not asking permission to go out. And then on the plane, we got to the gate. They said, "You're not allowed to take this plane." And yeah, they did. Everyone in China, they're scared to make a decision, particularly at that time. It was bizarre. And I said to my wife, "Look, we're going on this plane. We go there." We got to Shenyang, where I was heading to, and it was no
So
problem.
you got onto the plane anyway.
They sat us at the back, away from everyone else. It was bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre. The lady was talking Chinese to my wife, and you can kind of work out. I've got a loose understanding. And she said, "Oh, you can't go on there. Shenyang have said you can't go through." And then I heard her say, "But." I could tell, "But you might be okay." I said, "Right, let's go. Let's go." And we got to Shenyang, where we was flying to, and we walked straight through. No problem. Not stopped. Nothing. No test. Well, this was actually before the testing. But yeah, it was bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre.
I think a lot of the world was a bit chaotic, but I mean, it sounds a bit pretty bad. The idea that you can't leave where you are for months on end. Did you actually manage to get out from time to time?
Well, no, twice a week they said I was allowed, and this is what really did me. I can tell you, I lived in a place called Jinan City. It's the capital of the province. I lived about an hour outside, so I managed to get into the city, and I noticed, and I met foreigners. They didn't have the same restrictions that I did, so it was actually my school enforcing my imprisonment rather than the government, which was bizarre, and that's why. That's why I just left the city until they said I could come into work.
Well, that's
So,
amazing. You know, you got that here as well, I think. All individual organizations actually going even further than they have to in controlling employees and in controlling people, customers or whatever. There's definitely a lot of that going on where people almost enjoy this control that something like this brings them. But look, finally, it would be nice to know, at least to have some sort of an idea, Alan, what it would you say to people who are in South Wales, finding it expensive, living in rundown towns where the steel and the coal has all gone long ago, about the potential of maybe just skipping over there?
get out and have a look. Just have a look. Maybe it's not for everyone, you know. There's certainly challenges here. The language is an obvious one, but the Chinese are they're so nice, you know. There's no problem. You don't have any sort of whilst they have a way that could be interpreted as racist. It's more curiosity generally, and I, you know, I. And it's safe. I feel safer here than I would going out in Newport, South Wales, for example, or even Cardiff. So yeah, it's the safety here is brilliant. And I say, yeah, come and have a look. You know, and if you don't like it, go back. It's quite simple. But you'd have a good time, and you, apart from the flight, the visa process is a bit annoying. But you have a look. You wouldn't need much money when you're here. Perhaps in the bigger cities, but in the smaller cities, no, it's great. Yeah, I love it personally.
And which this summer, which it might be a good part of the country to come to.
I live on the coast in the east of China, so I know the south of China gets very warm in the summer, Shanghai in particular. So that might not be for everyone. Where I am at the moment, as I said, it's a nice sort of average 25 degrees every day with the sea. It can get up to 35, but yeah, I would definitely I would definitely have a look at one of the smaller cities. Maybe if you're scared about the language, Beijing might be more interesting for you, or Shanghai is certainly very cosmopolitan. But at the same time, with that, you have the expense. So, and I don't really see the point of paying Western prices in China when I don't need to.
And do many Chinese speak English?
In Shanghai, certainly. Yeah. In the bigger cities where I am, not so much.
Okay, Alan Jones, from China, thanks very much for joining us.
Lovely to speak to you, Tony. You take care.